Hello, hello, hello.
Well, hello there. Hi.
A rare Sunday night, Craft Beer Radio. And we got a gusher.
Wow.
We'll use that sock that I used last time.
So, this is the old New York Limited from Savor 2013, back in June.
White lager made by Saranac, Brooklyn, and Omegang.
Yeah.
And it's making a mess of my desk.
Maybe you'll have some extra flavor in it now since it's gushing like crazy. All right.
Where'd that cork go? Did it put a hole in my ceiling?
It went over here. It went over by your keyboard. All right. So, how was your week?
It's good. It was good. Busy at work. Christmas party on Friday night. Sister-in-law surprise 40th birthday party last night. That's why I couldn't do a show. Got a coaster over there handy? No, just this one. Not a big deal.
There's one here by your feet.
Okay.
All right. Oh, we should put that on here. So, how was the party?
Crowded in a very hot house. It was good. There's one of my brother-in-law's friends. He's a home brewer. He also works programming microcontroller type stuff. So we have a few things in common. I have more to talk to with him than I do with the average person on the street.
Sure, sure.
So it's always nice to get to talk with Jeremy.
I have a question for you, because sure. I was listening to last week's show.
Okay.
And I noticed some staticky stuff on your side.
On my side. Was I vocal frying?
No. I think your mic might be a little...
Ooh, that wasn't plugged in the whole way.
Ah.
Look at that.
Let me make sure if mine is. Yeah, mine is plugged in the whole way.
Yeah, mine wasn't in the whole way, so maybe that's a... Gremlins.
Huh? Hopefully that will fix the problem. So... Here's a couple questions for you.
Okay, ask away. Fire away!
All right. Let's see. Now, I didn't grow up with the stuff usually associated around Christmas, so mm-hmm. It's only within the past couple of years that I even got wind of this thing, which is advent calendars. So
right.
You get, I guess it's the month of December, and you get a little piece of chocolate every day until Christmas. It's sort of right. To tide you over until Christmas.
Yeah, it's something like that. We never used an advent calendar per se, but you saw that thing hanging on the wall up in the kitchen with all the Hershey Kisses tied to it? That's something my grandma made for my mom. There's a little poem on top and Hershey Kiss, and it's basically an advent calendar. I never really thought of it that way, right?
Right.
It's a little bit nicer than, you know, a cardboard box or some prepackaged chocolates in it, you know? Because usually an advent calendar... At least most of the ones I'm familiar with, right? It's some scene with a bunch of windows, and you open a little window, and right. There's a chocolate in it. I suppose that's nice. Did you see the... someone made, like, a whiskey calendar?
No.
I saw it because Patton Oswalt had tweeted about it, and then someone picked it up on a blog that I was reading. But, yeah, it was, like, $250, and every night you got 1 ounce, and they were good whiskeys, you know? So, 24 good whiskeys.
Must have cost a lot.
Yeah, $250.
Wow. That's nice, but what prevents you from just going out and just eating all 24
That's the pieces
of candy?
But then you won't have candy to eat the rest of the every other night.
Oh, yeah. It's not like there aren't stores where you can get candy. I mean, come on.
It's, I'm not sure if there's a fasting. I mean, no, I don't think there's a fasting element to Advent.
Why is it called Advent?
So there's 4 weeks. Now, I grew up Catholic, right? So we had the Advent calendar was never made really prominent in my household, right? Okay. We had the candy thing, but it really wasn't. It was a Christmas. It was a December thing, uh-huh. Right? It wasn't an Advent thing. And actually, Advent doesn't necessarily start on December 1st. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
This is where the ex-Catholic is talking out of his ass. I'm pretty sure it doesn't start on December 1st. It starts after some other minor Catholic holiday type thing. And there's four candles, and there's three white ones and a red one. And you would think the red one's the last week, but no, it's the second to last week. And I don't know why. I probably knew why when I took CCD, but I don't remember anymore.
The anti-penultimate.
Pretty much, right. So you light a white one at Mass 4 weeks before Christmas. You light a white one at Mass 3 weeks before Christmas. You light the red one at Mass 2 weeks before Christmas. And you light the white one the week before Christmas. I'm sure they have a good reason. I'm sure the internet could tell us, too. But, I mean, that's what Advent is. I'm trying to remember if there's fasting as part of preparation. You know, Lent there is, right? Lent, right, you give up things. Lent, you fast. I don't think there's fasting for Advent. If there is, I've completely forgotten about it.
Did you do the whole Fish on Fridays thing?
Well, no. I mean, not necessarily that kind of fasting, but maybe, like, deny yourself. Because, like,
I know there's, you know, the Lent of, you deny yourself something for 40 days, 40 nights. The parallel to Jesus.
Right. But there's also days where you're not supposed to, like, if you're really observing Lent, you don't eat snacks on Fridays. Right? You just eat your meals. You don't eat meat, you know. And, you know, if you take it hardcore, you don't eat until dinner, right? You know, I think that's that was originally, you know, back when Masses were in Latin and Catholicism was hard. You know, you didn't eat on Fridays until dinner, I think. But you gotta keep the people coming in the door, right?
Well, back when Catholicism was more than just a religion, it was the state.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's a good way to put it, too. So, yeah, Advent is just a preparation for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Catholics, what do you think about El Popo?
What did he do? I didn't see it.
Well, I mean, he's been a pretty progressive pope, all things considered. He is, you know, he's washed the feet of prisoners, I remember something. He's supported in some way gay Christians. He seems to have lessened some of the anti-condom thing, although I'm not sure where that's...
Yeah, I'd have to read up on what he has and hasn't done. I know when they were talking about, you know, him being selected, that he was still pretty conservative, right? I mean, maybe conservative for Latin America, not conservative for Western Europe,
right,
you know,
right,
Catholicism or something. But they're talking about how he's still pretty conservative and you shouldn't expect married priests, and you shouldn't expect,
right.
You know, those kinds of
things. He's conservative religiously, but he's certainly not conservative, like, economically. I mean, he just made waves because the right-wing establishment in America is very, it happens to be right now extraordinarily religious, Protestant religious, and it also is very laissez-faire capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope said that basically capitalism is, or straight laissez-faire capitalism is a bad thing. And now, all, like, Fox News and stuff, we're making a whole bunch of noise about how they completely disagree with the Pope. And the Pope is wrong and capitalism is amazing for everybody.
Right, because the Pope's not their core. Right? Well, Catholics aren't their core audience. It's part of it, but...
Yeah, I guess that's true, but, you know, it is funny. You know, Daily Show put up the quote from Matthew, which is, you can either worship God or money, not both.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing that. Right. But, so, it seems like they've chosen.
No. At least it's out there. But no, it's just going to get washed under the carpet. The people who want to ignore it are going to ignore it anyway, right?
Right, you know, right.
Yeah, you know, there's so much cynicism and hypocrisy that you could look at, that The Daily Show looks at, that, sure, they put a lens on it and it gets a little, you know, amplified, maybe, you know, to the absurd. But, you know, if people were really keeping score, they would know.
Well, it reminds me of this thing that I read 2 days ago that, you know, our outgoing mayor, Ravenstahl, said, which just drove me, I wanted to beat him over the head. So apparently there's a bill that gives early retirement buyouts for some longtime city employees. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that if you, let's see, let me get the basics. If you have a combined age and years of service of 70, you'd be able to retire with a full pension. So if your age plus your years of service is 70, you can retire with a full pension under this bill. The idea is to... It seems to me the idea behind this bill is to remove some waste from the government, some people who had some jobs and aren't, you know, that are still there, are not necessarily useful anymore, get some waste out of the government, but give them, you know, give them a decent pension so that they can still live.
Yeah, but you could that's still pretty early retirement. If you start working for the city, you know, you start working for the city at your 25, you can retire when you're 48, you know?
Well, if you start working when you're 25.
Oh, wait, did I do the math wrong? Yeah, I did the math wrong.
You need 70 years. Goodbye.
Right, 70 years. So when you're 50, you'd have to be working at the city for 20 years.
Right.
So if you're, it would still work, right? Because if you'd be working at the city for 25 years at that point, so you'd actually have 75 years. So you could retire a couple years earlier.
Right. So they're taking it down from 80. It seems like a reasonable thing to do to, you know, because what you want to do is you want to make the government a little bit leaner and meaner, get some of these guys out of there, but give them things to stay on their feet. Here's what Revensaw said. He said, "I think it's awful and it really flies in the face of everything my administration has done financially." He said, "I don't know why taxpayers should be paying them to have a soft landing." Now, these are guys who are older. Who are not going to be able to easily get another job to give them a decent amount of money. And he's saying, fuck them, throw them out on the street. I don't care. Taxpayers should not be paying to let them have a soft... I want them to have a hard landing. I want them to fall and die, is what he's saying. Right. What a fucking cock.
Well, that's it. I mean, that is Tea Party speak.
Yeah.
And, you can't be the least bit conservative and be the mayor of Pittsburgh. You just don't get elected. Maybe, but he didn't get elected. Maybe that's part of the reason he can have some of these thoughts. Who knows?
I just don't understand the mentality. I mean, if you listen to the show from the very beginning, God bless you. but you know that my views on economics have considerably changed. Now I'm what I would probably have called, close to a socialist.
Commie pinko bastard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I'm certainly not a, what's the best word I'm looking for? Well, I'm not a laissez-faire capitalist by any means. I'm in favor of regulation. So, we'll have to see how that all turns out, but I think that this is a good move, and I think that just that statement makes me want to punch him in the face. Like, how dare you? I mean, these are people. These are actual people. These are not. This is not just some some robot that you're turning off. This is a person. So I don't know. Jeff is opening up a big black thing with a huge lock on it. What is this? Some sort of tool, I'm imagining. Oh, it's Jeff's gun.
Yep.
Let me see it. Make sure it's unloaded. Make sure
I know you don't handle a gun, right?
Yeah.
So here's how you pull it back, and you make sure there's no bullet right there.
Right.
And then, even though you saw it's unloaded, you don't point it at me.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, what kind of gun is this?
Is it FNH? Is the gun maker? It's a FN Herestal. It's a Belgian company, but the gun's made in America, and it's the FNS 40. It's a 40 caliber semi-automatic pistol.
It's made partially of plastic.
Yeah, it's a resin,
and then the
polymer resin, handle and base, and then the slide and chamber and everything.
The slide and chamber is a metal, is some sort of composite.
It's a stainless steel.
Yeah. Okay, so looks like I'm not going to try the trigger. I'm just going to hold.
No, you can dry fire it. That's fine.
All right. So I'm pointing at the wall here.
Yeah, it looks like the safe is off. Yeah, it'll click if you pull the trigger.
Okay. Didn't pop back, but I guess that's...
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It uses the recoil, the firing to do that.
So it's 40 caliber. I saw your pictures of your...
targets, yeah. Targets. Yeah.
So you're saying... I'm looking down the sights here.
Huh. It's shooting a little low and right for me.
Low and right.
So you can pull it back. It'll stay back. You can kind of take a look at the mechanism.
The internal mechanism. So... This part, the plastic part, is the receiver, right?
The receiver. what part's the receiver. I think the receiver is technically the area where the back of the barrel and where the shells get loaded. I think that's technically the receiver part. So if you want to pop out the magazine, which is the clip, hold the gun in your hand, and the button that's lower on the handle by your thumb there, you push that and it'll pop out.
Okay. So this is an empty magazine.
Yeah.
And it holds 14?
I think 15, actually.
15, okay.
At the range I went to, State Game Lands range, you're not allowed to load more than 6, so I didn't put more 6 in each magazine.
40, it also holds 357s, apparently.
I think the clip's interchangeable. The gun's not.
Right.
But they probably use the same clip for their 357 model as well. So yeah, once you put the magazine back in there, the metal thumb release that's up near the slide there.
This here?
Yeah, I think that's where you're at. Yeah, that one. You pull that one down with your thumb. It takes a little bit of pulling.
Okay.
And then the slide will slam shut. Maybe do it on the other side. It works a little bit better on the right-hand side than the left-hand side. The reason I got this gun is it's fully ambidextrous, so all those buttons are on both sides. It takes a little bit of pulling. You can also grab the slide. Let me think. You're going to have to take the... there you go. If you take the magazine out, you can pull it back and just let it go, and it would slam forward, too. But because the magazine's empty, it'll catch it every time.
Unless
you hold that button down.
And there's a good amount of lube on this.
Yeah, there's some gun oil on it and some preservative here. You probably want to see the inside. I can show you the inside real quick. So take it apart. You flip the switch down. You gotta let it go back up. Hold it there. Pull trigger. Slide it off. So all this is just the trigger mechanism and the plastic. And it's pretty light compared to the gun as a whole.
Yeah.
And then there's three parts in the top. You got the slide. You got the spring that works the operation. And then you have the barrel here. So the barrel comes out. So you can actually, if you want to look down the barrel, you can see the rifling. Kind of like 007 intro, you know, like James Bond.
Yeah.
So the next step is to take you shooting.
Oh, I'm up for it.
Yeah, we'll get that set up for sure, because you've never fired a gun. And
well, not a handgun. No.
Yeah, not a handgun.
Interesting. So that's Jeff's new toy.
It's
a toy.
Yeah, I'm not using it for personal protection. That's not the reason I got it. It's all put back together. Lock it back in the case. I wanted to show it now and not in the post show, just so we don't... There's no ammunition in this room.
Mm-hmm.
The ammunition is not here, so, you know, the risk is the vanishingly small of anything stupid happening, but I didn't want to show this in the post show.
Right, right.
And whatnot, so...
No, that's a good time to show it. It is not the first handgun I've held.
Okay.
I held my friend Chris's handgun once again, and I made sure the same precaution. Said, you know, make sure it's unloaded, make sure you take the clip out. I just want to feel what it's like holding it.
Yeah.
So, it's a steady feel. I mean, it feels heavy in your hands. It feels like a machine.
Yeah, it's fun to shoot. Not the cheapest thing to shoot. I shot my first time out, so I had 200 rounds with me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about $80 in ammunition. I shot it all. I'm like, you know what? It's my first time out. I'm not going to shoot 200 rounds every single time.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, and I'm pretty happy with how I did. Once I figured out how the gun was shooting for me, if I was putting a sight picture that was dead center, I was shooting low and right. So I adjusted my sight picture. So I was aiming like almost towards the top left corner of the target, and I was getting pretty good grouping right on the bullseye. So, and the range I went to had a 10-yard target. And a 25-yard target. 25 is pretty long range for a handgun. But I still, I'm really proud of the one target. I shot 12 rounds at it. And 8 of the rounds hit the paper. But 6 of the rounds were, like, in the black. So I was pretty happy with that.
Cool. Did you get any of the bullets left? Did you get to see what they turned into?
Oh, no. You don't, it's public range. You don't have time to go... In probably with like health concerns of lead these days, you probably don't go digging in the gravel that's behind the dirt that's behind the backstop to you know, actually the range is pretty new, and you know, in the old days there would just be a hillside and you would just shoot into the hillside, right? So all the lead would just go into the hillside. The range here, it's an outdoor range, but they had the hillside, but they had a mound of I don't know if it was specialized gravel slash dirt slash sand, but it was definitely not stuff that was there. They brought it in, and it certainly looked like stuff that could be stuff that was probably made to stop bullets and stuff that could be removed in environmentally sound way. You know, in the old days, you would just fire all these lead bullets into the ground. Who cares? But it seems like things are different now.
I bet there's also, you know, I mean, you could probably recycle some of it to the right, circumstance. Yeah. Lead's not exactly...
A lot of people, you know...
It's not hard to find
the
lead.
The shell casing, the brass part, you know, people save that for reloading. I collected mine in case I find someone I can reload with. I don't know if I plan on buying the whole reloading system, because then I'm going to be out, another $1,000 or something just to get the reloading. And then how much am I going to save per shell? I'm not sure what the reloading... If someone knows how much you save, it's about 40 cents a shell for me now. I'm going to look online, can buy ammunition online. I'm going to look online to find a better price than Walmart.
How much of the cartridge itself is the bullet?
I'm not going to go get the bullets.
No, I mean...
So the cartridge is probably about 1.25 inches long for this .40 caliber. And the bullet... So the bullet's, sleeved in the cartridge, right? So what you see of the live cartridge, the bullet is probably... 5/8 of an inch sticking out of the end of the cartridge.
Something like...
And then, but the bullet itself is probably...
3 or 4 centimeters, would that be?
The bullet itself is probably... Well, let's see, did I say 5/8? I probably meant... Where's the damn ruler at? It's maybe... Maybe 3/8. 3/8 to 1/2 inch is how much of the bullet sticks out. And the bullet itself is probably...
I'm not good at...
5/8 to 3/4 of an inch, something like that. So, bullet's about that long.
Okay. And about the size of your...
pinky nail.
Your pinky nail, yeah.
Yeah. Good way to put it. So, and the shells fly out the top, and then loads a new one. So you have to run all over the place if you want to collect your brass and try to find all the ones that are yours. It was pretty easy when I went over to the long range. Most people shoot 10 yards. It's pretty easy to shoot 10 yards and... that's a pretty good range if you're practicing for self-defense and things like that. I like accuracy. And you can do accuracy at 10 yards, but, it's a challenge. It's not a given that you're going to hit the paper at 25 yards with a handgun, So
is it outdoor?
This one's outdoor, yeah.
So you have to take that into account, too.
Yeah, it's a state game land range. So as long as you have a hunting license, you can buy a hunting license for $21 or a range permit for $30. So I went to Walmart and bought a hunting license. I haven't gone hunting in years, mostly because the kids keep me busy. But now that I have a hunting license, it's not a big, I can see myself going out for a Saturday morning with my dad and going rabbit hunting or something like that, So I figured, why get the range permit when I could get a hunting license and, maybe go hunting once or twice a year.
Now, if you were hunting, would you use that?
No, it's a semi-automatic handgun. You can't hunt with those.
Okay. One thing before we continue, why don't you turn on the backup?
It's already on.
Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. Just making sure we have...
You can't hunt with a semi-automatic?
You can't hunt with a semi-automatic.
Okay. No. It has to be some kind of manual reloading. So shotguns, have... Well,
you can't hunt with a semi-automatic in Pennsylvania.
Right. Now, I'm trying to think. You might be able to hunt with semi-automatic shotguns for small game. I'm not sure. It's been too long. But so there's an auto-loading shotgun, right, or handgun. Pull the trigger, the gas from the recoil operates the mechanism, loads a new shell. Then there's pump action, where the front part of the stock, like the shotguns in the movies, right, that make the great sounds. That's pump action. And then there's break-open shotguns, right? You know the ones where, right at by the trigger, the gun folds down, and you just load the shells right into the barrel.
Yeah.
So there's the break-open kind. And then something you don't see very often. But
those are the kind, those are the get-off-my-lawn shotguns.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the get-off-my-lawn shotguns. And then there's the shotgun that I own, the one my dad got me, the one my dad traded for.
What about the one that Arnold had in Terminator 2 where I guess that would be an automatic.
I don't.
Because it's not quite pump action, but he had to, flip it around. So sort of
a shotgun. That was a pump action rifle, probably. The pump action rifle is where you have that little hand thing for you. So you know where the trigger guard is. You got the little thing for the other three fingers. And when you shoot, you cock You put your hand on it, it works the mechanism. There's a lever there. And what you can do in a movie when you're cool is you can, if your fingers are really strong and you don't want to break them, right, you can fling the gun forward and hold on to the lever with just these three fingers, right? The gun's going to go down, and then you pull it back up, and it's going to cock. But the pressure on your fingers would be nuts.
Well, remember, he's a robot. So he could... And he did a little twist thing.
Yeah, there might be. I can't think. I'm guessing it's a lever action a rifle he had there.
I'm pretty sure it was a shotgun, but I don't know much
about. I've never seen a lever action shotgun. I don't think they exist.
It's a movie.
Yeah. They usually use real props, though. I'll have to go watch. I haven't watched that in so long, I don't know. Bolt action guns, right? That's where you have the little lever.
That's the one I've shot before.
Yeah. So most hunting rifles are bolt action. Sniper rifles are bolt action.
Right.
Because everything
they in have to be, because that's a huge. I mean,
well, everything in there is so solid, it adds to accuracy, yeah. Right? But it's the slowest kind of reloading, except for like a single shot. Like a break open would probably be slower than a bolt action for sure.
I mean, like, you know, Oswald used a bolt action. He was able to get off three in less than 3 seconds.
You can reload them pretty quick.
Yeah. If you practice that,
but, but so my shotgun is a bolt action shotgun, which they just don't make because, you know, a bird's flying and you want to shoot the bird because shotguns are used. They don't shoot
pellets.
Single
yeah, they shoot
bullets.
Shoot pellets,
right? So you use them for small game. Use them for birds, rabbits, things like that where, you know, close enough is, you know, and, it, you know, and, you know, a bird's flying. You can imagine where a pump, you can keep gun trained on the bird and you're pumping it. Auto load, of course, it just goes bolt action. You know, could you imagine trying to follow a bird and working a bolt?
Yeah.
You know, because you're letting go of the first part of the gun. You know, you're moving your hand away from the trigger to work the action. So they don't make those anymore. But this is a gun my dad got when he was 12, somewhere between 12 and 15 years old. He traded it for a crystal set radio. So he traded a crystal set radio and got this gun, and it's a gun he gave me. It's a 16 gauge, and it's not a very popular gauge of shotgun. 12 gauge is the big one, the one you would see in the movies, right? The one the cops use too. And then there's 16, 20 is a pretty small gauge, and then there's one called a 110, which shoots this thing that looks almost like a cigarette. It's just a very skinny shell. And I think there might be 10 gauges, but they're like,
I know there's birdshot, there's buckshot.
There's a couple kinds of birdshot.
Yeah.
And then buckshot is typically like deer, four or five big bearings. Mm-hmm. And then there's a deer slug, which is one projectile on a shotgun thing. And there's rifling on the bullet because the barrel of the shotgun is smoothbore. So a slug has rifling on the bullet to get it spinning. But, you know, it's a bullet that's the size of a shotgun thing. So it's a pretty big, slow-moving thing.
And but I guess you want that because you don't want lots of stuff spread out in your meat, right? I mean, you want.
Well, there's that. You need more stopping power. I mean, buckshot. I don't know anyone who uses buckshot to go deer hunting. It's more of a mythical thing as far as I'm aware, right? It's just like, oh, buckshot, you know.
What do you use for skeet shooting?
You use a pretty light load. Because you just didn't need to touch the clay pigeon to break it. So it's a lighter load than bird, you know, than going bird hunting. I was going to say one other thing. Oh, like in Allegheny County, where we live, you can't hunt with rifles. So if you're deer hunting in Allegheny County, you're using a shotgun with a slug.
Or bow and arrow.
Or bow and arrow, right. But, I mean, if you're using a firearm.
Interesting. Okay, so let's say it was one of the places where you can hunt with a semi-automatic weapon.
That's okay. Some other states that I don't know which one's which. Okay.
Would you use that to hunt? And if so,
my handgun?
Yeah.
No, because I couldn't imagine. Okay, so if I had the perfect shot on a deer at 20, 25 yards, maybe I'd take it. I couldn't imagine trying to shoot, and that's pretty close. You know, you don't see too many deer that close. No. Like when I first told my dad I wanted this kind of gun, and this was almost 10 years ago, this gun has been on my wish list for that long. He was trying to talk me into some kind of revolver because you can go hunting with a revolver. I'm not going to go hunting with a revolver, you know, it's just so, it's fun for target practice and whatnot, but it's not, if Armageddon happens, the handgun is for close quarter self-defense. But if you have the opportunity to take someone out long away, you know, further away, you're going to pull out your long gun and shoot them further away. So you don't have to get, you don't want to get to the point where you have to use your handgun.
Right.
When the zombie apocalypse happens.
Okay. So, well, I guess that loses the question, but I ask it anyway. Would you use a suppressor or not?
No. I mean, there's no, it slows the bullet down, probably diminishes accuracy. You know, that's just, and I think it's illegal. I don't think you're allowed to have,
really?
I don't think you're allowed to have a silencer.
It's not a silencer. I mean, it's a suppressor, right? I mean, they call them a silencer, but they don't actually, it doesn't make a
sound. I've never seen a gunshot in real life, you know, firsthand with a silencer or a suppressor. So I don't know what kind of suppression you get. I've never seen it.
I mean, it drops the bullet down to subsonic. It helps outgassing, but it still makes a loud noise.
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen it done. You know, I've never seen it really, not, you know, theatrically. I heard Adam Savage talk about how they'd love to, like, test do-it-yourself silencers, uh-huh. but, you know, it's just not something that will ever get greenlit on the show. So,
yeah.
like the other thing you'd love to test is lamp cord versus monster cable. But they're not going to greenlight that one either because it's not cool enough, you know? Uh-huh.
This actually, we're drinking New York Limited, it's actually not bad. I think it's improved a bit.
Yeah, it has improved. I mean, it's not buggy. It just probably overprimed or something like that. The reason the cork popped and it gushed on us, but it's decent.
Yeah, it's a drinkable. It's a slightly more drinkable white. It's got some interesting fruity flavors in there that are slightly diminished, but you know because of its lager character as opposed to its full ale character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of junk like we thought it was before. Mm-hmm. It has improved with age. We were at 32 minutes. I don't know if you want to do anything else or save it or what.
There's a lot I have on my list. We can bring this up afterwards. That's up two. Ison's gone.
I was going to ask you about it. Yeah. I hadn't had time to research it. I mean,
there's some remnant left over, just the dust that's still in the orbit.
Okay.
But the core is gone. It's dead, dead comet.
So, I like how you scratched it off the list that I get. No more eyes on.
Did want to talk to you about Bitcoin.
Motherfucking Bitcoin.
We talk about that a little bit later. Television shows are coming up soon. Sherlock is
yeah, like January 1st.
January 1st, yeah. Rick and Morty is Dan Harmon. It's a new cartoon. It's on Cartoon Network every Monday.
Okay.
The first episode is on YouTube. I think you'll like it. Community comes back January 2nd. Have you watched At Midnight yet?
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
It's on after Colbert.
Okay.
And it was on for like 4 weeks, and it got like really great ratings for that time period. And so they're going to continue. And essentially what At Midnight is it's Chris Hardwick, of course, because he hosts everything.
he's the hardest working man in new media, that's for sure.
But he hosts, it's a very internet aware show, a very Twitter aware show, and he has three comedians on, and they basically, it's a panel quiz show where they just have them say funny stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially a podcast in visual form with a lot of the podcast comedians that you and I love. It's great. It really is great.
That's cool.
So, you know, I recommend everybody check it out when it comes back.
Speaking of podcasts and, you know, big, real people doing podcasts and us doing podcasts, I just saw, you know, Doug Benson, like, saying, which episode of Getting Doug with High will get 200,000 views first? I'm like, motherfucker. 200,000? You know, you just think, like, hey, we've done something here. You know, in his, like, spin-off podcast, which is kind of a joke, is, you know.
He's doing another podcast, which is hilarious, because if you listen to the Doug Loves Movies, and I think, I do watch Getting Doug with High, and it's funny sometimes, but someone, it was probably Eugene Merman because he's the kind of guy who does that. You know, says you have 8 million podcasts. Why isn't there a podcast of you sleeping? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm going to do that.
I heard that. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that one.
Called Doug Loves Sleeping, and he's going to put it as a podcast. I think that's hilarious. Yeah, so at midnight got a 40-week order. So that's essentially the same as The Daily Show and Colbert.
Wow.
It's okay. It's a full year with 12 weeks off. It's going to work on the same schedule.
Good for Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. And after At Midnight, there's Chat Midnight. Chris Hardwick hosts a show where he talks about...
Oh. A meta show where he talks...
No, he doesn't. He doesn't actually. But actually, the best joke of that... I know you're not a big fan of Comedy Bang Bang, and I am. I think it's hilarious.
You don't have to preface me with hating it or something. Just
the Comedy Bang Bang, they also have a TV show on IFC, mm-hmm. and like in the beginning of the year, during one of the episodes, in what would be the commercial break, they had Chris Hardwick saying, "Stay tuned after Comedy Bang Bang for Comedy Talk Talk." And yeah, it was a great...
I've never watched The Talking Dead, you know, because I download all The Walking Dead, so it's not there to watch. Yeah. But, you know, every once in a while you catch the intro or something at the very end, right? And, you know, this mid-season finale is just shit goes to hell and everyone is sad and dead and unhappy. And they throw it to Chris Hardwick, you know, yeah. Normally happy guy. It's like, ugh, this sucks. I'm going to go home. You know, that's practically, it was funny. Like, it was almost enough to, like, I should go see if they have that out on Usenet to download. They probably do. I just need to get it. But I would have loved to, like, hey, let's, like, and we're going to have on so-and-so who just had his head chopped off, you know?
What was it like getting... Because, I mean, you're not going to have him later, yeah. Right? I mean,
what was it like getting your head chopped off? Well, they had Hank on after he had died, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Okay, the last subject before we go. Amazon drones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing, when I heard about this, the first thing I said was probably the first thing you said, which was bullshit. Total bullshit.
I heard about it. Heather told me about it. And then she told me right away it was a 60 Minutes bit. You know, that her dad had told her about because she had.
Did you see the video?
No.
Essentially, something comes out on a conveyor belt. Somebody loads into a little box, a little mm-hmm. you know weatherproof box. Then an octocopter takes it, flies out from the distribution center, and then flies down to some gigantic, enormous house. So mm-hmm. this is not going to apartment complexes. Just puts it out right in front of their porch, drops it off, and then it flies away. And then they go outside, walk it, take it back mm-hmm. inside. Now, I mean, Jeff Bezos says, I want to make sure that this is in there. Jeff Bezos said that this is at least 5 years away. But he did say the technology is there, but it's mostly regulation that they have to get through. Now, I think that a lot of that's bullshit. I don't think the technology is
so, there. So, hold on a sec. So I haven't read anything about this firsthand, just what I've heard from different science podcasts and whatnot so mm-hmm. far. And there's two things that I'm not sure you know because the way you said it was bullshit, right? It's limited to 20 miles, maybe 10 miles, something like that.
Something like that,
and
sure.
It's piloted by a human. It's not an automatic drone. So a human actually knows what house to go to and can find a place to park it.
Well, that's from what I the Amazon ones are piloted by humans.
That's what I had heard from somebody. I don't remember who.
Then I mean,
Science Friday.
If there's
I think.
A fleet of drones, they're going to have a fleet of pilots. Mm-hmm. That seems to be very cost prohibitive. I mean, you have GPS.
Well, they have those bike messengers now, right?
Right.
They do the immediate delivery, and not just from Amazon, but you can have them go to whatever boutique and buy stuff and deliver it in urban areas. And to me, this sounds like, sure, it's still Skunkworks R&D. It's trying to figure out how to, you know, do futuristic, disruptive type stuff. But really, to me, it sounds more like an extension of that service because it's going to be in limited areas and miles from the base station, from the airport. Right. You know, it's going to, it's not everyone
it's
everywhere.
It's going to have to be small things, right? You can't get something big.
It's not everyone everywhere. You know, so
you can't go far.
So I had the whole thing framed as in, because I can't get the bike messenger to come here either, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I had it more framed in that service, but I also...
What about weather? What about weather? What about if it's windy?
Then they don't fly.
What if it's raining?
I mean, you're
what happens if a bird hits it?
Stop trying to sell it like it's going to deliver to every house in the country in 30 minutes every day of the year. It's not, you know? I mean, I didn't see how the 60 Minutes piece was portrayed. So maybe it was oversold or something. I don't know. But, I mean... I also can see where my kids would be like, you had to wait 3 days to get something? You know, I could see where this becomes Jetson shit. And you know, they're used, if they don't print on the 3D printer, it comes from a drone, you know?
I mean, there are people who are, the immediate response, the first response, which I think we can safely ignore is the privacy people. Saying, oh, this is an opinion on privacy because these things are going to have cameras and they're going to fly. I mean, what happened about the UPS guy who drives down your street and delivers it to you? So why, is there not no privacy issue there, but a drone because it's flying?
Well, there is a privacy issue with drones because they're not apparent that they're... Someone's on your street. You know, it's a 2D thing. It's easier to see them when they're in line of sight, right? When you have something anywhere in the sky with a telescope on it, you really can't. So they're not the Amazon drones, but... other drones.
Well, no, these people are their privacy concerns about the Amazon drones.
No, their privacy concerns are about the FAA allowing drones. And they're only complaining about the Amazon drones is because people are talking about the Amazon drones.
I mean,
there is a...
We already have Google satellite, you know, satellites, you know, imaging all the stuff all the time. You can get a street view of your house, you can get an overview of your house.
Yes, but what you don't have is you don't have the creepy guy buying a $500 quadcopter and flying it outside windows, peeking in windows and stuff like that.
So it's just an advancement of technology over binoculars. Well, that's all.
It is. It is. And people are always scared of new technology. And it enables some great things. It enables not so great things. The internet makes it so easy to share child porn compared to what it used to be. You know, it's... I heard a great thing. They're talking about, I think it was on Science Friday again, but maybe not. But what he had said was, when new technologies come in, not just today's tech, but telephones, printing press, the conservatives are always right when they say it's going to change how we live our lives. It's going to ruin how we do this. They're always right because it does change things. Yeah. Now, their feeling that it's bad as opposed to good wasn't what the guy was commenting on.
Right.
He's just like, the conservatives are always right when it comes to new technology. That when they say it's going to change something, it does. You know, when the telephone was invented, it changed how people courted each other. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, it goes back to that old saying, which I think is lovely, which is the only constant is change.
Mm-hmm.
And... and
it's going to be interesting to see what the FCC, FAA does about drones and privacy and things like that, because, you know, we were talking about how privacy is dead now. I think it's inevitable. I don't think it's worth fighting, but when someone can buy a $500 drone and like private investigator, right? Super easy. So much easier than today.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an autonomous drone. Okay. Spend $2,000 on the autonomous version of the drone, right? Follow this guy. And when your battery gets low, fly, you know, hand off with the next one, you know?
Yeah, no, it will give the rise of...
Surveillance will be nuts. I mean, if you are a target of somebody's surveillance.
Yeah. Well, that gets back to the whole, the quote-unquote breaking story about how the NSA is tracking phone. Duh! I mean, phone calls have been tracked since phones existed. So the idea that people are now incensed because the phones... But really, I mean, the deal is that it's easier to store a large number of things and search them now than it was before.
Right. Big data is nuts.
Yeah.
I was listening to some Science Friday this morning. I don't know if it's this week or last week.
It's still an extraordinarily hard problem.
But they're talking, you know, just big data. I mean, it just, it's impressive. I love it. I love the idea. But, you know, they're talking about, you know, and this wasn't new to me, but you're kind of using it a slightly different way. You know, you're walking around the mall and your phone has the Wi-Fi turned on, right? So your phone's always scanning for Wi-Fi. Even though you don't join the Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi access points can see your MAC address, right? So there's companies that, you know, got your phone's MAC address. Hey, Greg Weiss just walked by your store. Or Greg Weiss is in your store. You know, so if you're concerned about privacy, you got to turn off the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth radios. Otherwise, people will be able to scan that stuff and know that either person X, who is you, but they don't know who you are. They just know you're person X. Or they know that they're you.
And I'm not concerned about my privacy in that sense. I'm just not. And so I don't see the big deal. So for me, if people are tracking me into a store, it's easier for them to track me into a store now. But they could have tracked me before based on my usage of, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the economics of hiring a person to follow you versus, you know, just having this data. Mm-hmm. You just have to hire someone to distill the data, to mine the data.
Right.
And did we talk about how this term mining is like so literal and so true when it comes to big data? You're extracting value of a resource. The resource is this database.
Well, it's signal and noise. I mean, it's.
But it's just like mining gold, right? You're extracting you get a huge amount of stuff and you get the value out of what's there. And big data is the same way. It just, the metaphor is not a metaphor when it comes to mining data. It's a little.
Well, I mean, it's a metaphor in the sense that you don't have a pickaxe. But the separation of signal from noise has always been something that, I mean, you could say that, you know, to radio transmission, you know, because essentially an antenna is a miner. If that's it's a minor in an electromagnetic frequency, right? It takes out the noise and focuses in on the signal.
But that doesn't necessarily gain you something that is tangibly more valuable than the rest of the noise. Well,
why not?
Well, I guess you're right. I guess you could find something that you could find a case where that.
Well, no. If you're getting the station you want, the music you want, without getting interference from the rest of the electromagnetic radiation that's flying around, then you are getting something useful. You're getting something tangible. You're getting the notes that you want. You're getting the tune that you.
But
want.
But it's not something. Yeah, I guess. But you can't in turn resell that, right? Because you don't own.
Well, you can tune in, tape it to a tape recorder, and then sell the cassette tape.
But there's laws against that, right? There's not laws against extracting value from your claim. Of dirt.
Okay, all right.
And there's not a law extracting value from your claim of data.
You are a radio astronomer, and you are scanning the sky, and you have to eliminate out the noise from cosmic backwave.
Okay, I mean, so this is,
and you have to, and galactic sources, you know, Sagittarius A, all those things that
right.
are.
So you're doing research, and you're finding valuable information. It's still different from gold mining. Where big data mining and gold mining are more similar than research, right? Because big data mining, sure, it can be research, but it also can be this sellable product.
I think it's just a failure of imagination on your part, because you're associating that the only value is in money, but that's not where the only value. That's not the only value.
That's why people mine gold. They don't mine gold for the research. They don't.
What about archaeological digs?
But I'm talking about
paleontological.
They don't call that mining.
But it is mining.
They don't call it mining. I'm talking about how the metaphor of mining data was always a metaphor to me until I, you know, saw that it is. You know, I used literally twice, and I know literally doesn't mean literally anymore. But to me, it does in this case where. You know, you have resources that, as they sit, aren't worth anything. And you apply stuff to it so you have a sellable product afterwards. Gold or user data or things like that.
I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. I think it's a more malleable thing.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with signal to noise and you know, figuring something out and gaining.
It's not just about figuring something out. It's about understanding how to separate the right. signal from the noise.
Sure.
And
I agree with that part. But and again, you know,
changing your instruments and constantly updating your instruments right. and to do that better.
May I look up the definition for mining to see how they
absolutely go right ahead. Look up the definition for mining, and I will talk right now. Jeff has purchased. We're going to be talking about this probably in the main show, but Jeff has purchased a whole bunch of different stoppers because we had some complaints. I don't know about complaints, but we had some people saying that the Xylus, while they liked them, they didn't fit some of the bigger bottles, like these Dogfish Head bottles.
The thicker glass bottles for more pressure have a mm-hmm. narrower neck.
Right.
And the Xylus, the new design Xylus is made in stops normal, most bottles fine, it doesn't stop the ones with the skinnier opening. And our go-to was the old-style Xylus. Mm-hmm. Xylus made their diameter thicker to seal better, right? But it doesn't work in all bottles.
Right. So we have a whole bunch of new ones here to try out.
Three new ones.
And you keep looking, and I'll talk about these. One is from Pednini. It's a smaller one. It's black, and it's got a little yellow stopper in it. Another is a big one. Looks like an old-style Zopper. I don't know what company makes this. Doesn't have a name on it. But it looks like the old style Zopper, but it's much larger and has a bigger handle on it. And then there's this big plastic, big hunk of green plastic one, which is a Joey stopper, which looks like it basically does the same functionality.
Okay, so this definition, it's the fourth definition for mine. And it's the most applicable, and it leads credence to what you were saying here, because it doesn't exclude what you were saying. It's delve into an abundant source to extract something of value, especially information or skill. Value? What does this mean? It says value, comma, ESP,
period. Especially.
No, that doesn't make sense for mine, right? Because it says especially information or skill, but not a valuable item. Bad, you know, like the definition, here it is, I'll read it exactly. Okay. Delve into an abundant source to extract something of value, especially information or skill. No, especially gold, especially a valuable resource.
Well, that might be a different, I mean, what are the other definitions of mining?
Well, the first one is obtain coal or other minerals from a mine.
Well, there you go.
But it doesn't necessarily involve the reason that people mine that stuff, right? At least economically. But I guess mine, the flat definition of mine doesn't need to cover economics.
Right.
I was talking about why people mine.
Yeah, you're getting into a more complicated. Yeah. You're getting into the way these different things involve each other, and something gets extracted out of
it. Like, why do you mine gold? Because it's an expensive, hard job, and there's only, for every yard of dirt you mine, there's only $10 of gold in there. That's moving a lot of dirt to make a little bit of gold.
But that's a complicated set of things, whereas we're just talking about the term mine and how it can be mm-hmm. used interchangeably right. in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, the rest of the definitions are just about moving dirt to you know, to find stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Dirt specifically. And I was looking for something more of...
Or you could say, this computer is mine.
You hominem.
That's English.
You hominem.
That's English. It's full of this crap.
Yeah, this definition knows that I'm talking about... I searched for mining, so it only gave me the verb.
This is mining. I'm mining this.
Yeah, it only gave me the verb
when
for
I
mine.
Buy something, I'm really mining it. I'm turning it into mine, so I'm mining it. We should start using that. Change the language. Instead of buying, I'm mining it.
All right, I think it's time to get on to the show.
I think so, too.